The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
صوت الألفيات.
Voice of the Millennials.
With Yasin Kipi.
Igniting the youth.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to Voice of the Millennials. Of course, it's Rabiul Awal, and we've been talking about the Mawlid of the Prophet ﷺ with Mahmoud Khatib about the Mass Mawlid 1440 happening at Masjid al-Quds on the 1st of December. We also spoke to Aisha Hamdulay on her thesis on justice and transformation, spatial planning and urban land reform in Southern Africa, particularly in Cape Town. And we move now to a very important project, and that's the Ghazali Children's Project, initiated by Aisha Gray Henry. She was here in our midst just a couple of weeks ago, and inspiring all of us parents and teachers to really give back the spiritual life to our children so that they can deal with these various Islamic ideas and ideals in a very, very creative and participatory way, inshallah ta'ala. And as someone who has implemented this, and of course that was mentioned that over 150 schools have implemented this project worldwide, and the person I'm about to speak to has implemented in Birmingham, the United Kingdom, who is on the line now from Birmingham. That's Siri Muhammad Ishaq. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
So it's been wonderful knowing you, Muhammad Ishaq, and now you've been working as well on the Ghazali Children's Project. How has that been, and how has your children been with regards to teaching and the various other initiatives that you're involved with at the madrasa?
Alhamdulillah, I mean, first and foremost, it's the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to always recognize that. For us in this work, essentially we're just tools for Allah's work, and in reality, I mean, one of the ways we would measure the success of our actions in the worldly sense would be simply the feedback that people have had, and we've had many guests come from all over and from different backgrounds, whether it's scholars, speakers, nasheed artists, whoever has come to this project. They've been extremely pleased with what they've seen, but I think the biggest opinion or feedback was from Aisha Gray Henry herself, who had put this curriculum together. And in her opinion, she said that from all the places that she saw from the madrasas worldwide, she said that the best implementation of this project of hers she had seen was at the Birmingham Sunnywood Hub.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. It's really to do with emotional intelligence, to know yourself, to know the students that you're working with, and the Ghazalian way of teaching is really to dig deep within the human psyche of how these students, how these children, how the ulama, how every person thinks, and to look at that as the object of study, and to address that as a problem, and of course give the solution to that. I was thinking about the emotional intelligence of the Prophet as a topic that we really need to look at, how we react to certain things. I just wanted your thoughts with regards to that, and the one of the latest projects that you're working on, and that's knowing yourself, the four human temperaments, as a way to actually understand children, and in terms of pedagogy and teaching them in various methods.
Yasin, everything you said is 100% spot on. I mean, the importance of such a thing, and we've seen it being displayed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the example and how he dealt with all these different people, these characters that were in and around him, and we see the progress of each of the, especially the four caliphs, the Khulafa Rashidin, the rightly guided caliphs, and we look at the lives of someone like Abu Bakr at the start of his life and the type of a person he was in radiallahu anhu, and then we see him at the end and some of the decisions he had to make. You can see clearly that these people had been mentored, and that there was somebody who had been watching over them and cultivating themselves in their character, and essentially working with the temperaments that they had. This is something that clearly aligns with this idea of the four temperaments, and the reason I've selected this is because, as anything that we do, we always should have a framework, a reference that we're using. And for us, if we can find it, if our Muslim, if our own scholars have recognized this, then it's an affirmation for us that this is something that it has been critically looked at from the perspective of traditionally trained scholars. And alhamdulillah, this framework is out there. It's brilliant. I mean, everyone wants to know themselves and wants to know others and have better relationships with each other. And this is the key, in my opinion, from what I've seen, the, one of the most sound frameworks out there, and it can be used in various forms. In fact, it's not just being used in spiritual cultivation, it's also being used in advertising. I mean, subhanAllah, these people have been, people out there have been using this same information to make money. I mean, we're supposed to, our purpose is to get to God. I mean, you can even use this to make money if you really want to, whatever you seem to whatever you deem fit, as to be something important, you can use it for that. And if our priorities are in the right place, then we will know where we're trying to get to. But and essentially in the classroom environment, it's how do we get these students to understand and to implement that which is being taught, and using it through this framework, it's clearly, I mean, there's in Surah in chapter in Surah Rum, verses 21 to 24, clearly Allah Subhanahu wa Taala shows there are these four types of learners. It's an amazing four verses to look at. And these link directly, and I've used resources that are already, this research has already been done. It's up to us to just simply make those connections, connect the dots, and help each other. And I use this in all the work that I do, in many of the projects, whether it's dealing with the youth teaching, or just the youth club, or just dealing with adults.
Well, it's certainly useful, and I mean, I was thinking about emotional intelligence quite a bit, as I said, and one of the things that Daniel Goldman says about that, he's the one who wrote really the book about emotional intelligence in the 80s, because before that, it was all about IQ. It was, if you think about who's the most intelligent person that you know, in fact, I asked someone that today, and she said Einstein, but according to Al-Munabbih and Imam Al-Ghazali, there's no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ was the most intelligent in terms of his aql. And that was really about how he treated people. So I read this one example of a Sahabi, was not yet a Sahabi, by the name of Adi ibn Hatim, and who ran away when the Prophet ﷺ came, and his some of his family had become Muslim, and the Prophet ﷺ asked for him to come and meet him, and as he came into the house of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the Prophet gave him the only pillow in his home, and this man was really surprised. This is the only pillow in his home, and he's the leader of Medina, he's running the whole Ummah. And after that, the man comes into the house, and this man is begging, or at least complaining about the tough life that he's had, you know, since becoming Muslim, and of course the persecution of the Quraysh. While Adi is sitting there as a wealthy man in the time of Jahiliyyah, his father, who is Hatim ibn Ta'i, this very wealthy man, and then the Prophet ﷺ turns to him and he says that, you know, perhaps one of the reasons why you're not accepting Islam is because matara min hajatihim, the problems that you see within the people. And the Prophet promises him that there will come a time in the Ummah that there will be so much wealth that there will be no one to give zakat to, and that certainly happened. But the steps in knowing the person you're speaking to, the emotional intelligence that you can use, is three. The first one is, of course, knowing yourself, and that's what you're going to be speaking about. The second one is, of course, knowing the person who you're speaking to, knowing their background. And the third step, which is really interesting, that I found and undoubtedly in your tour that you will be going to Istanbul, and of course in the UK and Leeds, and I think tomorrow inshallah, is that you can use that same information to manipulate people, or as the Prophet ﷺ did, was to uplift their spirits, right? And in terms of children, to use these things that the Ghazali Children's Project gives to uplift their spirits. So perhaps if you can give some of the examples of the activities and the lessons that you've taught the children at your madrasa.
Sure, yeah. I mean, a lot of this knowledge, when we look at someone like Imam al-Ghazali, who is known as the proof of Islam, we see that one of the things that one of the reasons why he was called the proof of Islam was because he put this to the test. He put a lot of this to the test, and it's not a challenging manner, but it's to truly challenge the self and to be real with the self. I mean, to listen to certain voices within ourselves, certain doubts that we have, and to face them, to truly face them, and to really have this yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether if this is true, then it should prove to be successful, or you know, give me exactly what it says it will give me, you know, to do what it says on the package, essentially, to do what it says on the tin. And he did this. And so one of the things that we've done with the kids is we've really just taken this idea. And again, it comes with yaqeen and iman and having studied. So alhamdulillah for the studies. We have made simple activities where they get to really test themselves. So for example, something we consider to be metaphysical, and through the whole idea of the metaphysical realm, this whole idea here is something that many people have like a difficult time with in understanding this. And one of the simplest ways we can test this and understand this to be a reality is simply by observing smiles. And one of the activities we did with the kids was to just everyone silently just to pass a smile around with each other. And as we did this, naturally, it was quite weird at the start, and the kids were a little finding it quite odd.
Yeah.
But as it went on, there was all of a sudden laughter and smiles that came about.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I said to them, just take this in. How did it feel when a human being looked at you? Was it simply a change in their face, in their facial feature? Or did it just bring about something deep within yourself that you genuinely started to smile and started to laugh? Because it became quite a funny activity, and they were laughing. And the idea was that. And then we also used these practical activities to reflect deeply. And at that point, I asked them to close their eyes and to really bring in to their minds a smile of someone who's dear to them. And most of these people went to their mums. And I said, and how does it just feel at this point that you can see your mum smiling at you when she isn't even present? This is the concept of metaphysics. And this is us as simple children, simple human beings, exposing ourselves to the reality that is, or to the world that is metaphysics. And so that it doesn't need to be explained theoretically, mm-hmm. when it's been experienced in its true taste, that she's not here, but it's more powerful than physically her being here, because if I was limited by the physical realm, I would not be able to be affected by her presence yet.
Mm.
By closing your eyes, she's being brought to your presence. And this idea, I mean, there's many examples we've done, but just to truly, again, like I said, to make the best of the physical and the metaphysical world, to get to these realities which are very much existing. And the first book, which is Kitab al-Ilm, is really understanding that there is a higher knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that once we start to accept that this higher knowledge does exist, and that it has manifestations, not just in the metaphysical, but also in the physical realm.
Yeah.
Or then we're onto something, aren't we? And once the children are convinced into that, then there's many other doors that open up and many discussions to have.
Well, certainly, and of course, anyone listening who wants to get a copy of that, it's been reprinted in South Africa by Bayt al-Hikmah in Durban, and it's really easy to get shipped over within 48 hours, and you can just go to baytulhikmah.co.za, of course, ghazalichildren.org, Fons Vitae, just Google the Ghazali Children's Project. It comes with the workbooks, activities, and curriculums, and all of these things. And just coming back to the four temperaments now, Muhammad Ishaq, what is really interesting for me is that some of the examples that Aisha Gray Hendry gave was that, for example, she spoke to her granddaughter and said, you know, we have two hearts, don't we? We have the physical heart and the spiritual heart, and the reason we need to keep the spiritual heart clean is because there's two worlds. There's this world and the next world. And it's very very funny that when her granddaughter went into the next room and her son was playing piano, and he said he's playing a piece by Bach, who died 250 years ago, she said, well, he's not dead, he's just in the next world. So that's the way that they pick things up. But what's interesting about Al-Ghazali is that he treats all of these four temperaments. So that might be an experiential one, but there's also a very logical argument. So one of the things that he says, things that he says, for example, is, what would you say to someone who saves you from a lion about to attack you? You know, we'd thank that person. And then, what are you saying to about the teacher who saves you by polishing your heart, teaching you how to polish your heart? So these are really great things. And if you can just talk about these four temperaments exactly, and inshallah, may Allah allow this to happen, we can bring you to Cape Town, we can have a workshop on this, linking to mental health as well. Talk to us about these four temperaments by name as well.
Okay, I'll try to keep it quite short. I mean, the workshop is about 3.5 hours, so I'll try to keep it short. the temperaments essentially are something that were recognized by many different civilizations, from the Greeks, Muslims, the Chinese. These are foundations in traditional medicine. And the temperaments essentially are what affect, it's in Arabic it's called a mizaj, a mixture, and it's what affects our behavior, it also affects our thinking, and essentially it's our immediate reactions, and it can easily be seen as like a personality type or personality theory. But even from that perspective, it's quite useful. And there's essentially four temperaments, which are sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholic. And each of these, every human being has to some degree and a dominance in one of them and a subdominant in one of the others. And that sort of shapes up your personality. So I can, during this workshop, you can easily identify which type of a person you are, and I've tested this for too many years for it to, and I've been convinced in this, and it's been correct for so many years that I'm absolutely a, I mean, the first time I heard it, I was a bit skeptical, but I'm actually a complete believer in this, and I find it to be true. And not only do you find your types of behavior from your thinking, it's essentially a cognitive behavioral aspect is how we're looking at it. And when a person really discovers that, then you can find certain weaknesses, certain strengths. So I've developed two extra modules which are motivating, and then the spiritual cultivation. The motivating chapter is really how do we deal with this person to get up and do whatever I want to be doing. So whether it's work, whether it's studying, whether it's schooling, whether it's religion, whatever it is that you want to do, how can you get yourself up to do that, and those around you? So if you have for example, a sanguine type of a person, a choleric and a sanguine are the types of people who are much more social. And then there's the phlegmatic and melancholics who aren't social. Well, if somebody was a phlegmatic or a melancholic and is not social, they would have a very difficult time with their husband or wife who is very social, because that person would always want to be going out. And a lot of the times you misunderstand this, because then there's assumptions made as to, well, are they not happy to spend time with me at home, and then they're going out. And it's really understanding why people are like this. So there's people out there in this world who are also considered to be very negative, very pessimistic, very cynical. And there's others out there who are really cheerful or very optimistic. Well, just a quick one for you guys as to the melancholics who appear very negative. In fact, it's not that they're so negative, it's just that they're idealists.
Well, I quite like that one.
Yeah, I mean, they're idealists, and they're looking for this perfect world, and they have a high standard in what they do. And so when people don't reach that standard, or they themselves don't reach that standard, they can easily fall into negativity, being pessimistic, and then they have to be careful in that. Now, Plato has his four characters, and he's recognized the four virtues, and if you look at virtue ethics, and it's very interesting. We looked at a work by Sheikh Alhiji, and it continues this whole idea of the four virtues. Well, the four virtues are directly linked, in my opinion, and in the opinion of my teachers, to these four temperaments. And essentially, Yasin, you'd love this. You'd absolutely love this. And if you get some time, if I'm over, inshallah, I'd love to show you this. That there's this clear... So the idea of a virtue... Do we have time? Sorry.
Sure. We have another 4 minutes or so. Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, I'll just mention this. So commonly, a common understanding of virtues and vices, those good characteristics and the bad characteristics, to put it simply, a common understanding is that they're binary. It's that the perfect way of being is a virtue, and to have, and the opposite of that is a vice. But in fact, it's not actually like that. The virtue is the middle road, and an excess in those characteristics could lead us to a vice, and a deficiency in that can lead us to a vice. Now, when you apply this to the four virtues as recognized by Plato and Imam al-Ghazali, and Imam al-Ghazali breaks down the metaphysical DNA in such a simple model, I'm looking at this, I might do some further research in this, but this is incredibly useful for a person, because I can rewrite for you your journey to yourself. And if you haven't journeyed to yourself, I'll give you the map to yourself by using the work of Imam al-Ghazali. But the point there about the virtues is that you can easily recognize within yourself certain virtues that are natural to you, and certain vices that are that you're more prone to, or more likely to fall into. And I've combined this with works of Tazkiyah, Purification of the Heart, to sort of identify key diseases of the heart that each of us based on the temperaments, needs to be watchful over.
Yeah.
And again, I'll show that they're not necessarily bad in their intention, they're good intentions, or just the way we are, but it's about how do we use this. It's so useful. I mean, I've been benefiting from it so much. It's literally, I can give you terms or language to speak to a particular type so that you don't, for example, the negative. Sometimes people think that with a negative person, you have to be negative back. This is a common misunderstanding. When they're cynical, you be cynical back to give them a taste of their own medicine. Unfortunately, that will never bring about a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It will never bring about a solution to expect them to understand that. Rather, you need to change your perspective and see how they're seeing it and share in that experience with them rather than trying to oppose that. And this is the beauty of knowledge. Once you understand, you really understand. You're truly seeing the picture as opposed to thinking you see the picture and then become continuously clash heads. So it's very interesting. It's a whole science in and of itself. And this isn't even looking at the medicinal aspect of biology and physiology. That's a whole different science. And that's certainly not the science that I don't have an interest in it. Not why I'm not qualified in that. But for me, it's really about behavior, therapy from that perspective of how do we essentially do the work we want to do. Even Dawa, I mean, you can do a masterclass on Dawa based on these four temperaments and how you should do Dawa. In fact, advertising companies have already done this work. They'll tell you how to sell for each different type of a person. For the caloric, they want it quick and they want it fast. And so you're giving them quick results. Right? You want to share it with them quick results, whereas a phlegmatic person wants to be safe.
Yeah.
So you have to prove to them how this product provides safety or it's that this product is safe. And then the sanguine is a popular person, and so they need to see that this has been recognized by the masses, so that if they have it, they're also in with what's important. So it's a very interesting science, and to use it in education or whatever, it's very beneficial.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about this. Inshallah, we will be seeing you, inshallah, in Cape Town, hopefully soon. All the best to you on your tour. We'll have this interview up very shortly on social media, so please do share on our Facebook page. You'll find it. And if you want to be in contact with Muhammad Ishaq, all you have to do is go to his Facebook page. And do you have an email people could contact you with as well?
Yeah, for regards to the temperaments or any other work that I do, you could just send me an email at info.iswaqisaq@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Shukran so much. All the best to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.